Thank you for his preparation, and thank you that you've put on his heart what to share with us this morning. And I just ask that you would give us listening ears and an open heart to hear what Dan has to say. Amen.
Good morning. Everything's falling. I'm going to start off this morning with a joke. There was three people on a building site. There was an Italian, a Irishman, and an Aussie. And they're all high up in the building, they're, you know, constructing. And it comes to lunchtime, and they all swing their legs over the side of the building and pull out their lunch boxes. And the Italian looks into his lunchbox, and there's an Italian, salami sandwich. And he goes, "Oh, not salami again. If I have salami again, I'm going to jump off this building." The Irishman opens his lunchbox, and there's a potato bread sandwich in there. And he goes, "Oh, if I have potato bread another day, I'm just going to jump off this building too." And the Aussie opens his lunchbox, and he has a Vegemite sandwich. He says, "I'm sick of Vegemite sandwiches. If I have another one, I'm going to jump off the building." And the next day, they come to work. You know, they're doing their work. They swing their legs over the side of the building and have lunch. And the Italian looks into his lunchbox. Sure enough, it's another salami sandwich. So he just jumps off the building. The Irishman, he opens up his lunchbox, and again, it's potato bread, so he just jumps off the building. And the Aussie, Vegemite sandwich, jumps off the building. The building site organises a big funeral because, you know, big tragedy. And everyone's at the funeral, all the staff, all the family. And at the funeral, the Italian's wife says, "Oh, if I had have known that he didn't like salami sandwiches, I would have made him something else." And the Irish woman, the wife, says, "Oh, if I had have known that he didn't like potato bread, I wouldn't have made him potato bread." And they both look at the Aussie's wife. And she says, "Don't look at me. He makes his own sandwiches." Some of us have our sandwiches made, and some of us make our own sandwiches. What I have to tell you today is very troubling. What's wrong with this world? What is wrong with it? You know, there's murder, there's envy, greed, there's death, there's total disrespect for God everywhere. There's crime, you know, stealing and theft and abuse. There's rape. There's pedophiles. What is wrong with this world? There's tragedies. There's drug and alcohol abuse. There's terrorism. There's gambling, wickedness, pain and suffering. There is so much wrong with this world. Why are we even here? Why do bad things happen to good people? You know, why do good people have to go through all that struggle? Why do they have to go through all that pain? And what's worse, how come bad people have all the good stuff? How come, you know, none of the bad stuff happens to them? Why aren't God's people protected? What is God doing? Why isn't he looking after us? We are good people. Why do some people have to work so hard? How come they have to go to work day in, day out? They work overtime. They have to do all this work and they don't get anywhere. You know, they're barely on enough money to survive. And then there's others who have heaps of money and they sometimes don't deserve it. And it's just unfair. And it seems random, like, how come, you know, sometimes bad things happen to bad people, sometimes good things happen to good people. But it just seems random, the distribution of money, distribution of pain and suffering, the distribution of crime. It all seems to be that, you know, what's the point of being good? What's the point of, you know, all this hard work? Because it's not easy being good. Sometimes it's easier just to go out and take someone else's something that you like. You know, just go and rob a bank because they've got lots of money. Life is unfair. Why is life unfair? Doesn't that annoy you? Doesn't that really grate with your heart? Doesn't that just make you sick in your stomach? How unfair and how horrible and how unjust this world is. God has dealt the human race a terrible existence, a miserable fate. God has done this to us. God has placed a huge unhappy burden on us all. Why? What is the point of life? It's filled with misery, it's filled with pain, it's filled with suffering, it's filled with pain and sorrow. It would have just been better if we hadn't have been born into this horrible world. And think about it. Like, what do we get from this world? No one's going to remember you in 150 years. Does anyone know the name of, I'm going to pick someone that people should know, the first Prime Minister of Australia? Not many people know. It's Edmund Barton. Does anyone know the second Prime Minister of Australia? My point, no one remembers people, even if they're popular or famous, or no one just remembers them in 150 years. The second Prime Minister is Alfred Deakin. And the 10th, does anyone know the 10th? Joseph Lyons. To prove my point further, does anyone remember the name of their great-great-grandfather? Will you be remembered in 150 years? What is the point of living? What is the point of being here? And it's not like life is great anyway. It's not exciting. It's, you know, same thing day in, day out. Just like the salami sandwich, just like the potato bread, just like the Vegemite sandwich. For me, I get up in the morning, I put on some clothes, I make myself some lunch, or Beck makes it for me. Thanks, Beck. I drive into work, so that's like half an hour trip. I get into work, I check my emails, I work really hard, I deal with problems, I make stuff happen. I, you know, work really hard until morning tea. Morning tea, I have a little break and then have a bit of food, and then I'm back to work again, working until lunch, and lunch, you know, half an hour. Yeah, but that goes so fast. But the work doesn't. Then I work till the end of the day. I then have to spend half an hour in traffic or more. I come home and I'm really tired, but the kids are there and they're wanting to be played with. Have to have dinner. Then we, you know, just put the kids to bed, do some stuff before I go to bed, and then I'm in bed. I'm exhausted. And only to wake up the next morning to do it again. Go to work, have morning tea, work some more, have lunch. What is the point? And it was the same in primary school. It was the same in high school. It was the same in uni. Go in, morning tea, work a bit more, have lunch, work a bit more, go home, eat food, go to bed. It's all the same. Why? This is just wrong. But I hear you calling, Daniel, this wouldn't be, you know, you wouldn't be so boring if this wouldn't be a problem if you were rich. If you were as rich as the richest king, you'd be fine. But I tell you what, I've thought of this. You know, the king every morning would wake up, get out of bed, get dressed, walk up the 7 golden steps, walk up to the throne, sit on the throne, do kingly stuff, get a bowl of grapes at 10:30, do some more kingly stuff, have lunch at 12:30, then go back to the throne, wait to do whatever a king does until the end of the day, deals with people's problems. Then he'd walk back down the 7 golden steps, go have some dinner, go to bed, wake up the next morning for the same thing. So yeah, even if you had heaps of money, even if you had lots of power, it's still going to be the same day in, day out. What is the meaning of life? Douglas Adams, no? Is it Douglas Adams? Yeah, wrote The Meaning of Life. And they built a computer to work out the meaning of life. Spat out 42, they didn't understand it. So they had to build another computer to try and understand it. What is the meaning of life? Anyone tell me? I've been dealing with this for the last couple of weeks. What is the meaning of life? Why are we here? What is the point? There's so much suffering, so much wrong with this world. These same questions, same struggles, same injustices troubled Solomon. Yeah, I'm talking about Solomon today. Solomon had all the riches, all the power, all the women, all the lands. He could do anything with his time. And yet Solomon has the same struggle. This troubled Solomon so much that with all his wisdom, he set out on an investigation to find out, what is the point? Why are we so unhappy? What, you know, why can't we just be happy all the time? Why can't we get rid of, you know, problems and injustices? So what I've just been through is the chapter one of Ecclesiastes. It's troubling, isn't it? It's really troubling. Something is wrong with this world. So Solomon is the wisest king. He asked God for, or God gave him a wish, and Solomon wished for wisdom. And because that was a selfless thing, God granted it to Solomon. And with all his wisdom, if you guys could all pull out your Bibles, because we're going to be going through the Bible, Ecclesiastes. Sorry, I was meant to do that at the beginning. Chapter 1, verse 18, Solomon says, the greater my wisdom, the greater my grief. To increase knowledge only increases sorrow. So wisdom isn't the answer. Wisdom isn't what makes this world happy. It isn't what gives you pleasure. So in chapter 2, he starts to investigate the different things and he looks at pleasure. And so if the first thing he looks at is laughter, and he tries. And laughter doesn't, you know, might give you, just like the joke, you laughed for a little bit and then you stop laughing. You know, it's not funny anymore after a point. So then with much thought, he turned to wine and he decided there are people out there that just go off and get drunk and really have a good time. They must be having a good time. Let's try alcohol. Let's get drunk. And it only led to foolishness. He didn't find it there. So he built huge homes, big mansions. He had a palace anyway, but, you know, big places. Some people love having big places. I've always wanted a big house, you know. It'd be great, wouldn't it? He didn't find it there. So he built huge gardens. Now, I want you to imagine a king. He has all the power, all the wealth. He can go out. His garden would be more like a park than a garden. So huge parks, lovely flowers, lovely trees. Sorry to disappoint you, he didn't find it there either. He had slaves. He had people to do all his work for him. no more house cleaning. Who wants a house cleaning robot? Who wants a slave? No more work. I know the kids create a lot of mess. It'd be great for someone to pick up after them. It didn't bring him happiness. It didn't stop all the sorrows in his life. He also owned large flocks, large herds, lots of animals to take care of. Who has a pet? Pets are great. They make you feel nice, but they don't make you feel nice all the time, especially when they vomit all over the floor or, leave nasty messages around places. Or you stand in it, Again, not the answer. Solomon had all the money. He was the richest man, had all the treasure, and it didn't make him happy. I'd love lots of money. I'd have big screen TV and I'd have, massaging chair so I could watch my favourite movie and, wouldn't have to work again. It would be great. He had all that and he was still troubled, still searching. He had singers and entertainers. Now, think about that. He didn't just own the whole CD collection of, every band out there. He owned the band. He had the band. They were in there playing for him. He would just go, I want this song. They would play it. Wouldn't that be great to have any music on demand? No. Not for Solomon. What about women? Solomon had 700 wives, 300 concubines. Still, that didn't satisfy him. It didn't make him happy. There were still problems in his life. Throughout Ecclesiastes, Solomon uses a phrase. What versions of Bibles do you have out there? Most people, I believe, have NIV. Anyone have anything different? New King James. So in the NIV, it says meaningless. What does it say in the King James? Let's go verse 2 of chapter 1. Vanity. Vanity. Anyone got anything different for everything is meaningless? Futility. Smoke and mirrors. Yeah, that's actually one of the better ones. The word is hevel that we translate. And throughout the Bible, it means different things in different passages. And it can be translated, and I don't know Hebrew too well, but they tell me that there are different slants on the text and that type of thing make it mean different things. So everything is meaningless. Hevel. Hevel means fleeting, like a flame, like a smoke, like breath, fleeting. Everything is meaningless. And throughout Ecclesiastes, he says this about 37, 39 times, depending how you translate it, because sometimes it says utterly meaningless or completely meaningless or meaningless of vanity of vanities. It's all meaningless. It's all fleeting. It's all, you try and grab hold of smoke, you can't grab hold of it. What is the point? Another thing Solomon says is under the sun. I tried to chase this. Sorry. I observed everything going on under the sun in this life, in this world. So Solomon kept going. He found that he found pleasure in hard work. Now, I just want to go on there. I didn't realise that myself until I was reading Ecclesiastes. I find pleasure in the work that I do. I really enjoy the work that I do. But the thing that's killing our society is the person that works all the time. Work is killing us. you know, I want to be careful because God says that work is good. The problem isn't work. The problem is in our hearts. We're supposed to be diligent. God says that we need to be diligent. So it's good that we be diligent. Solomon isn't talking about diligence when he talks about hard work here, and he talks about it throughout Ecclesiastes. He's talking about a lonely person who works all the time. And why is he lonely? Because he has no time for anyone else. Yet who works hard to gain as much wealth as they can? That's verse 8 of chapter 4. So when you work and it's all about yourself, you're never satisfied. You want a bit more money, so you take the bit of overtime. You know, you can't get enough money. You know, the person that works all the time has probably got enough to live comfortably, to live a modest life, but they want more. They want the flat screen TVs. They want, you know, smart TVs or whatever it is. So who would say that they've got enough money? Who would like more money? And I'd put my hand up and say I'd like a bit more money. We always want just a little bit more. If you could go back in time to the person that had a lot of money and before they started the job that gave them all that money, and you ask them, so why are you going out and doing all this work? What is your goal of earning all this money? They'd probably say something along the lines of, look, I want this job and I want to do this because I want to have money to enjoy life. I want to, you know, give the kids more. I want to go off and enjoy nice vacations. I want to give them everything, the kids, everything that I didn't have. But at the end of it, you know, we're actually just trying to get more and more wealth, that we work so hard that we forget about going on holidays. We forget about the kids and the people that we're trying to benefit from the money that we're trying to earn. How many people do you know that have a boat that can't enjoy it, that have, you know, money that don't enjoy it, that have, you know, lovely things but just don't have the time to enjoy it, have kids and grandkids but don't have time to spend with them? I have to put my hand up and say I've been working too hard. We need to pause and just have a check. And this doesn't just apply to work, but it applies to everything. We need to go, why are we looking out for this? Because God says that work isn't a bad thing. He says money is good multiple times. But the love of money is the thing that's not good. Solomon goes on and he actually, throughout Ecclesiastes, I'm just going to read these out. I was going to put them in an order, but I'm just going to read them out. So if you want to follow along, for the first one, I'm on chapter 2, verse 24. So I decided there's nothing better than to enjoy food and drink and to find satisfaction in work. Then I realized that these pleasures are from the hand of God. For who can eat and enjoy anything apart from him? God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to those who please him. And then chapter 3, verse 11. Yet God has made everything beautiful in its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So I conclude, there is nothing better than to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can. And people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor. For these things are the gift from God. And know that whatever God does is final. Nothing can be added to it or taken from it. God's purpose is that people should fear him. What is happening now has happened before. And what will happen in the future has happened before. God makes the same things happen over and over again. to verse 22. So I saw that there is nothing better for people than to be happy in their work. That is their lot in life. Chapter 5, verse 18. Even so, I've noticed one thing, at least that is good. It is good for people to eat and drink and enjoy their work under the sun during the short life God has given them and to accept their lot in life. And it is a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it. To enjoy your work and accept your lot in life, this is indeed a gift from God. God keeps such people busy enjoying life that they have no time to brood over the past. 6, verse 9. Enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. Just dreaming about nice things is meaningless, like chasing the wind. 7, verse 13. Accept the way God does things, for who can straighten what he has made crooked? 8, verse 15. So I recommend having fun, because there is nothing better for people in this world to eat, drink, and enjoy life. That way they'll experience some happiness along with all the hard work God gives them under the sun. 9, verse 7. So go ahead, eat your food with joy, and drink your wine with happy heart, for God approves of this. Wear fine clothes with a splash of cologne. Almost finished. And finally, right at the end, now I just have to make a note that right at the end, this is the scribe who is writing down the words of the teacher, Solomon. He says, here is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. Thank you very much.